From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Listen for the Signal. The text is 2 Samuel 5 and verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. There are signs of the Lord's moving which should move us. The Spirit of God blows where he listeth, and we hear the sound thereof. Then is the time for us to be more than ever astir. We must seize the golden opportunity and make the most we can of it. It is ours to fight the Philistines at all times, but when the Lord himself goes out before us, then we should be specially valiant in the war. The breeze stirred the tops of the trees, and David and his men took this for the signal for an onslaught, and at their advance the Lord himself smote the Philistines. Oh, that this day the Lord may give us an opening to speak for him with many of our friends. Let us be on the watch to avail ourselves of the hopeful opening when it comes. Who knows but this may be a day of good tidings, a season of soul winning. Let us keep our ear open to hear the rustle of the wind and our minds ready to obey the signal. Is not the promise, then shall the Lord go out before thee, a sufficient encouragement to play the man? Since the Lord goes before us, we dare not hold back.
Shall not prevail.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. This passage describes mankind's descent into unspeakable wickedness and perversion. the result of having rejected God's revealed truth about himself. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, it is this suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. We see that man has no excuse for not knowing God, for even the very heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 25 says that sinful men have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is the rejection of God's revelation, the consequences of which are darkness in this world and eternal damnation in the next. In spite of the clarity of the revelation in their consciences, men prefer their sin to the knowledge of God. Now Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Rejectors of God, Rejected by God.
The special revelation of Scripture has the stamp of God on every page. It's why many of the Reformed apologists like to speak of God's Word as the self-attesting Scriptures of truth. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. The world could never be the same after the coming of Christ into the world. Oh, the light is shining. The light is shining. But Jesus said, light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Ah, now we're getting to it. Because their deeds were evil. That's why they rejected the Word of God for the invention, the lie. And then they rejected a walk with God for immorality. Their deeds were evil. They, as Paul puts it here, God found them in the lusts. Verse 24, the word through is the word in the lusts of their own hearts. That's where he found them. Men luxuriating in lust. You see, God's truth always calls for purity. God is holy. You cannot be in touch with God without the demand for holiness reaching your heart. The gospel is called the doctrine that is according to godliness. And that's exactly why fallen men reject truth for error. They want to be free. What a word to use, but that's the word that's always on their lips. They want to be free to pursue their lusts without divine restraint. Notice again in John 3 and verse 19, Jesus Christ is making it abundantly plain. This is the condemnation of God upon men. This is his condemnation. This is why he condemns them. Light has come into the world, but they reject the light because they love their sin. Their deeds are evil. And the desire is that God will remove his restraints. One of the most sickening aspects of modern life in Britain and America and throughout all Europe, indeed today, is this constant harping on the so-called freedom of expression. The U.S. Constitution has been subverted to support the expression of every foul and hellish thing. I want to tell you, there is no freedom in that expression except freedom for the devil to corrupt and damn the souls of men and cause unspeakable havoc. Free from God, that's bondage. That's bondage. It's a very dangerous desire. And I want to address this very solemnly tonight because, there are many young people here, and some of you feel at times that the gospel is putting brakes on you, it's putting restraints upon you, that the Word of God is holding you back, it's penning you in. You see the ungodly out there, you see the world doing this and going here and engaged in the other thing, and you feel that you're being penned in. Well, you want to thank God you're being penned in. I want to thank God for it. If God ever lets you out, if God ever gives you the desire of your heart to be free from divine restraint, He gives you up. It's a sad thing, that. Lifting it into a slightly different realm, I have never forgotten what happened in Dr. Paisley's church many years ago on the Ravenhill Road in Belfast, the old Ravenhill Church. When a young woman came into the meeting Sunday night after Sunday night, God smote her heart with conviction, and she sat under a tremendous weight of conviction. And yet, she did not come to Christ. This went on for many weeks. Then came a Sabbath evening, she was in church, and she sat without the slightest concern in the world. In those days, Dr. Paisley, still true of him today, but in those days particularly, as a young flaming evangelist, he thought nothing at all of stopping people on the way out, talking to them about their soul. I'd like to talk to you. So he brought her into the inquiry room. He asked her, "What has happened?" With a laugh, she said, "Preacher, last Sunday night, I could not sleep. I could not get away from God. I could not get away from conviction. Last Sunday night, I got out of my bed and I knelt before God and I cried, 'Oh God, leave me alone. Leave me alone.'" She said, "I got up from my knees without a worry." As far as I know, God took her at His word and left her alone ever since. It's a dangerous desire, for when God allows men to have it fulfilled, it always destroys them. Our passage in Romans 1 describes sinners ruining themselves and all around them. We read in verse 29 that they were filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Does that not read like the daily newspaper? And then it says, full of envy. It's a different word entirely. It's not even a cognate word in any way. One great Presbyterian preacher from the 19th century here in the United States suggested that you would get the meaning of it if you used the word instead of full, stuffed with. Stuffed with envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity. Here's total depravity with a vengeance. And I want you to notice this very, very clearly. That this sin that starts with sin against God, that's ungodliness, leads them to unrighteousness, and it leads to sin against man. It leads to the dissolution of an orderly society. It wrecks government. It wrecks all the instruments of state. It wrecks the home. It wrecks marriage. It wrecks the relationship between parents and children. It wrecks the individual. It wrecks the body politic. That's depravity. And it's total. Now, some have objected that Paul was rather unfair to pagan society. Said it's a very one-sided picture. After all, the Greeks produced great works of art and the Romans works of architecture. Well, no doubt that was true. But do you not see what Paul is making clear here? No matter what wealth a nation accumulates, no matter what art a nation produces, no matter what buildings it erects, no matter what political structures it establishes, it will perish from the sins that Paul is here describing. And anybody who is in any way familiar with the history of ancient Greece and ancient Rome will know that they rotted from the inside before they were ever conquered from the outside. What a warning to our nation today. You live in what is, in many ways, the greatest country the world has ever seen. The most powerful nation in the long, tortuous history of nations. The most wealthy nation. The most prominent nation. And I have to say, in many ways, the nation that has used almost absolute power more beneficently than any other nation in history. What I say is not anti-American. It is God's truth. Because this great nation is rotting away from the inside. This is the sin of rejecting God. Let me quickly pass to the sentence that God announces and denounces on those who reject him. Verse 24, 26, and 28. God gave them up. And you'll notice in those three texts, three marks of judgment. Verse 26 or 24. God gave them up to uncleanness. Pervasive uncleanness. The idea is of every kind of moral uncleanness. Pervasive uncleanness is a mark of divine judgment. When uncleanness rules in a society, that society is not only sick, that society is already enduring the judgment of God. You cannot lift a newspaper. You cannot watch a news program. You cannot be exposed to American life on any level without being face to face with pernicious uncleanness. So prevalent is uncleanness that those who would stand for purity are called prudes. A young man who wants to stand for purity, I don't know what the cool word now is, but he's a wimp or he's a nerd or whatever other stupid expression has been invented. He's less than a man. Whereas the truth is that he is a warrior for purity and conquering where the real wimps cannot stand but give in to the lusts of the flesh. Pervasive impurity, a mark of divine judgment. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, shameless passions, we may translate that, dishonorable passions, For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Second mark of a nation under the judgment of God is reckless immorality among the females. And God's word here, and I use females for this reason, does not speak here of men and women, but of females and males. It's a mark of divine judgment when the females become sexual predators, when they are as abandoned and lustful and wicked as the wickedest of men. I think it is not because of superior nature, because depravity is in the male and the female equally. But I think it is because of the restraining hand of God that generally, in a society that is not under this judgment, God puts a restraint upon the finer feelings of the woman. He puts up a barrier. She is a barrier to uncleanness. But we're living in a day when she is a willing participant in uncleanness. That's a mark of judgment. Add to that, verse 27, homosexual perversion among the males is a mark of the judgment of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.